B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This being our first time talking to you since the end of the season, and in particular since Tom left, I know you wanted to leave it at the statement, but I'm just curious if you guys had a desire to bring Tom back the coming season.
Yeah, I think that's, a lot of water under the bridge, Mike. And like I said, we're really focused on this season and trying to look at our opportunities and make decisions and plan and prepare to be as competitive as we can be this year. So that's really what our focus is on.
It didn't surprise you at all, him leaving?
Again, I think we've covered all that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Everyone very friendly on this call. Didn't feel like Bill was all that upset by Mike Giardi's question. Mike Giardi didn't seem all that upset by not getting the answer. All right, thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
Oh, everybody was very friendly on that call yesterday. I felt like everybody who was on the call was just happy to be doing something related to sports. Like, they were all like, hey, all right. Conference call. Let's do it. Like, let's talk about something.
I agree with you, Phil. That's a great point, Phil, you bring up about what we did and the teams we tried to put around Tom Brady for 20 years. Sure, Phil. That's a great point.
Yeah. So that was yesterday. Bill Belichick had his conference call and didn't really give a lot on Tom Brady. And I think that's it. We're not going to get anything from him. We're not going to get a single thing out of him on Tom Brady. Sort of disappointing. A little bit disappointing. I'd like to hear a little bit of Bill's side of this. I would. Yeah. Just as a fan, I'd like to hear a little something there. But we're not going to get it. That guy's all business. He's looking forward now, and it's going to be this moving forward. Brady's gone. That's it. I guess we shouldn't have expected anything else. But I thought he might surprise us, and he did start by mentioning Brady before taking questions, but I don't even feel like he gave it his full Bill Belichick treatment the way he's done it on other topics before, like when Garoppolo got traded, right?
Oh, you got long.
He said more about the departure of Jimmy Garoppolo than he did Tom Brady.
Yeah, massive.
At the start of free agency, I made a statement about Tom. It would be, of course, impossible to sum up everything Tom did in 20 years into a comment then or now. But I meant everything I said about him, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him for years and decades to come. You know, right now, we're moving forward.
All right, then.
It's got to be a little culture shock there, too, man, for him.
We're moving forward, and that's
You're entering the unknown here. And I know they called it uncharted waters with Brady at his age, but this is a much, much bigger element of the unknown. You know, as you get ready to embark on 2020 here.
So I guess
real quick, I keep hearing a lot of people saying that Hoyer's going to be the guy.
Who's saying
to
that?
Start? I've heard it from local people.
Who?
People that Phil Hoyer
name like, names.
Oh God, I think Curran said it. I think he did.
Hoyer's the guy.
Well, that he's going to be the guy initially. Like, wouldn't surprise me. Week one, Brian Hoyer's a starter.
Oh God.
See, I think it's going to be Stidham. I think the kid's going to play well in the preseason.
I mean, hold on.
What is Brian Hoyer going to do more than he could have done last year?
What does that say about Jarrett Stidham if he gets beaten out by Brian Hoyer?
That's what I'm saying. Hoyer had a really, really good preseason last year, and it wasn't even good enough to stay here. So what more can he do than he did last year?
Well, that's not entirely fair, though.
Well, they were going to bring him back. I understand.
I feel like they were going to bring him back after week one. And as a result of that preseason, he got a fat contract out in Indianapolis, which is great for him. That's terrific.
So yeah, it should be. $12 million.
If you have a chance to make some money, go make it. Great.
Yep.
But what does that say about Stidham in year two if he can't beat out Brian Hoyer? Don't you want him to be able to beat out Brian Hoyer at this point?
Yeah.
I hope it's not Hoyer. I'm really hoping that it's Jarrett Stidham, assuming that there's nobody else coming, that there's nobody else that's going to be added to the roster through the draft or free agency between now and then, is what I would say.
I don't even know what that feels like. I mean, what would you rather see Hoyer go out there and play 500 football, or would you rather see them take a shot with Stidham? And, you know, even if he gets off to a 2-6 start, you know, see what it looks like. See if he's got anything there, if there's anything that you could develop. Because you know what the ceiling is with Hoyer. You know what that's going to get you.
Yeah, I'd rather take the shot with Stidham and get him the playing time.
Stidham's got to put white shoes on, first of all. So he looks quicker. Looks more the part.
Right, right. Guys need to shave their mustaches, and you need, different color shoes.
Look the part. I need the next guy to look the part a little bit.
Well, that's why you're here, Zoe, for that kind of quarterback analysis.
Why is it so hard to play quarterback in the NFL?
It's a great question.
If only we had somebody who played the position at the highest level that could help us with our analysis.
Just look right a little bit. Put a couple wristbands on. Can we get someone on the show?
Who to start? Who to put in there? Who could have a better chance of growing and succeeding?
Jimmy wore more wristbands when he went to San Francisco. Started to look the part more out there than he did here.
Wristbands and shoes.
Yes. Taped up, spatted, everything. Yep. Jimmy looked good out there. Nice uniform.
How important it was.
I didn't realize that it was a major concern.
Shirt untucked, no wristbands. Drives me crazy about Aaron Rodgers. Ugh. Hairy arms. Just put a damn wristband on. Jesus.
I'd take Aaron Rodgers over everyone else we've named.
Yeah.
Even with his bad wristbands, I would take
bad,
everybody.
Low cut black shoes. Yeah.
All right. We've got to figure out a way to pick a Patriots all decade team. I think we should discuss the parameters of who should be on the in terms of positionally speaking, who should be on the team. Why don't we do that coming up next?
Let's do it.
All right. That's on the way.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Last week we were talking about the NFL's all-decade team.
Yep.
And how fraudulent it was because they just, we don't pick a quarterback, we just pick two. Brady and Rodgers. But we don't pick one head coach, we just pick two. Belichick and Pete Carroll. So you said that yesterday the guys who were in the room for the Patriots Hall of Fame what were they doing? They were picking an all-decade team, you said so?
Picked an all-decade team, correct.
All right, so we should do this, but the decision to make here is how do we decide which 11 players to pick offensively by position?
Okay, so I think predominantly this offense has run out of 13 personnel, one back, three wideouts, correct, with one tight end, and not out of two wide receivers, a tight end, a fullback, and a tailback. Mostly, their offensive production is out of the three wide receiver set, right? So I think we should go three wide, one tight end, one running back, one quarterback. And then your offensive lineman.
Okay, I like this so far. My question to you would be, in addition to that, do you pick individual positions along the offensive line? For example, when the NFL does the all-decade, they don't separate right guard, left guard, it's just guards. And then you have tackles. You don't have specific things outside of center.
I say stick to the exact position that we're talking about.
Okay, so on the line, each individual position.
Yep.
Best left tackle, best left guard.
Correct.
Best center, right guard. Okay. All right, so that would leave us with just figuring out the offense. Jim, how do you feel about this? You like this?
No two tight ends?
Nope.
No. One tight end.
Why?
for the reason you said.
I said you predominantly operate the offense as predominantly, whether it's Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, Billy O'Brien, back to Josh McDaniels, has been a 13 personnel set, meaning slot, two wideouts. The slot, in essence, becomes the F. The H is behind you as the running back. Tight end is the Y. You got X, Y, Z, F, and H.
All right, you have to have a designated slot guy, though. You can't just say three receivers. You got to go designated slot guy.
Right, correct. So one of these guys has to be a slot receiver.
You can't put Welker and Edelman on the same team.
Nope.
That's the point.
That's the point.
That's fine. So we'll just, okay, fine. So one of the receiver positions has to be a slot, and you would have to decide between, but for this decade, I don't think that's that difficult of a pick.
Nope.
Like, for this decade, that's,
it's Edelman.
It's Edelman.
Period.
So I don't think you're creating any real controversy. I think why Jim asked about two tight ends.
Quarterbacks is easy and tight ends is easy too then.
Yeah, Edelman, Gronkowski.
And left tackle's easy.
Yep, Solder. Center's easy.
So
I think right guard is easy.
Which controversy were you looking to create? The second tight end? Whether or not it goes to Aaron Hernandez? Is that what you were going for there?
Is it Martellus Bennett? Because he didn't play that much more. Hernandez only played two seasons. We're counting 2010, too. So yeah,
Bennett played and he helped you win a championship. When big guy was down. Yep.
Yeah, but this is not based on championships. This is based on best individual sort of play. So,
okay. There you go.
I mean, that would be a...
So that's part of it. Part of the discussion.
I mean, who's a better tight end? Just to leave the other stuff out of it.
Gronkowski.
No, not Gronkowski. Between Bennett and Hernandez.
Oh, Bennett.
Right.
I think when the team does it, they're doing one tight end because they don't want to get anywhere near having Hernandez on an all-decade team.
I'm sure that's true. Would not be surprised if that is the case. But I'm fine with what Zoe has stated, doing it the way that he wants to do it.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, defensively, what do you want to do there?
Are we going 3-4 or 4-3?
I don't know.
Nichols, how much Nichols played, right?
How many of each guy? Because we're not picking more than 11 players on each side of the ball. We're not going to do that.
I would say...
You could do the 3-3-5 if you're playing nickel.
I would say do three down. I'd say go more 3-4.
Okay.
I'd go three down linemen. Which puts Vincent, you know, Vince is obviously your nose tackle. And then you got to debate who's going to be your tackles, and it opens up more ability to have an edge guy, which could be a down guy, or linebacker.
So how many edge guys? Two linebackers?
Two outside athletic guys, two inside guys.
Can I ask you what Chandler DBs. Jones is considered? Where does he fall into?
I'd put him an outside guy.
So he takes away one of the linebackers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to find defensive ends then.
What do you mean?
It's going to be tough to find the guys on the side on each side of Wilfork if you have three guys on the line.
You need two. Two down guys. Two down guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Those two guys that are on each side of Wilfork, if Chandler Jones isn't one of them, that's going to be tough to find.
I'm confused what you're saying.
I am too. Like, what do you mean? I don't understand what the hell you're saying.
You don't have a ton of other options there. Like, Lawrence Guy might make this team because there's not a lot of options.
All right, so...
No, I'd put Trey Flowers in there.
Oh, so he's not an edge guy?
Right, no, he's sort of the problem. No, like, who's...
Trey's more of a down guy. His hands are always down to me. Like, Chandler could play in a two-point stance. You know what I mean? Chandler could stagger the legs and play a two-point stance. Trey didn't do much of that, if any at all. He was always down, trying to get leverage up underneath.
Right, Trey Flowers wasn't standing up a lot.
If you got your hand down and you're a leverage guy and your game's predicated on getting underneath the pads, you're a down guy. You're a tackle. I know they like to classify you as an end to or an edge guy, but to me, I don't consider you a guy that's a risk coming off the edge. I don't know if you're going to drop in the flat or if you're going to blitz or if you're going to cover a guy. I don't care. If you're in a two-point stance, you have the ability to do everything, and that's like a Van Noy. That's a Ninkovic. That's a Chandler Jones. Hightower's in the middle. Who else is the other guy?
I was going to ask where Hightower was. That's all.
Middle.
Well, he's in the middle. He's one of the inside guys.
Okay.
He's a Mike. He's your all-everything Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Hightower is in there. Okay. All right. So three linemen, two edge guys, two inside backers, two safeties, two corners. That it? What are we missing?
Going left corner, right corner, or are you going two corners?
That doesn't matter. Two corners.
I don't think it matters. I think it matters less on this side of the ball.
Well, so who is it? Gilmore, Revis, yeah?
Gilmore, Revis, Butler, same position. If you're going left corner, right corner.
Butler's out.
No, but if you're going left corner, right corner, you're leaving two of those guys out.
I think you pick two corners, two safeties.
That's how I feel. Two corners, two safeties. I think it's...
And plus, when you get two great corners like Revis and Gilmore, you match up. A lot of them are standing over the ball, and you're not really a left or a right.
1 year of Revis is good enough?
Yeah.
We're going
based on the play of the individual. Or do you put Logan Ryan?
For the decade.
I don't know.
It's a decade team. It's not just 1 year.
Maybe you could argue that Logan Ryan,
I mean, how do you make it all decade team with one season within the decade?
What about Aqib Talib?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
when are we doing this tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're gonna really spend a little bit of time thinking about it.
Look at this more. Look at this more, because then you forget about guys like Talib. It's a good point, Jim.
And then maybe fight about it a little bit.
That's fine.
But I like what we've done. So what we've agreed to do, and if you have thoughts on this, feel free. 617-779-0985. On offense, there will be the five positions on the line. There will be three receivers, one of which is designated a slot. We've already got some of these guys locked in, as you can see on the screen on the simulcast. Zoe and I agree on Edelman. Gronkowski is clearly the tight end. Brady clearly the quarterback. Kicker, well, you don't have many options there.
Andrews is clearly the center. I think Andrews has center locked up. So we're going to debate the other ones. I'd put Andrews on there at center. Played on too many championship teams. Never missed a game until this year.
You know what's an interesting one is we have not discussed. Who's the running back on this team?
That's an easy one to me, but I think we're going to debate this.
Okay, good. Save it.
Left guard's another tough one. I know it's not a sexy position, but... If Mankins and Tooney, that's a tough decision.
I agree. But hey, if you only have Mankins for a year or two, then you got to look at the totality of the position, right? That's where you can argue a Butler or a Logan Ryan in. This is going to be good for tomorrow.
When was Logan Mankins last year?
I think Mankins and Tooney each played 4 years.
Oh,
yeah. Mankins.
In this decade?
Yeah. Mankins was 2010 through 13, and Tooney was the last 4 years.
It's Mankins. Well,
Mankins' first year was 2010?
No, first year was 2005, but first
year of the decade.
Okay, jeez, I was going to say, man, my head is all screwed up. Then
life started at 2010 for this argument, Hardy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Zoe thinks of the running back, because I have definite thoughts on that too.
I mean, I think there are multiple candidates for the position, but I don't know that it's an easy one.
No,
is what I would say.
No, I mean, and I don't think you're going to be able to come to a definitive answer like you do with Dante Hightower, Vince Wilfork. Some of these are, you know, are obvious answers. But, the running back position, especially on this team for this decade, it's tough. You know, what exactly are you going to get out of that guy? And if we're sticking them with these positions like we are across the line and across all, with the receiver position, are you going to pick a guy who could do a little bit more than just be a running back? Huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
People forget how good Vereen was during his stretch here, you know?
Vereen?
People forget how good Vereen was.
It's tough. You have big backs and you have small backs. You got to choose one guy.
You got small backs.
One guy.
You have Blunt here. He left. He came back. Yep. Blunt, in and out, you know? I'm not arguing for LeGarrette Blunt.
All right. I think this could be some fun, though. I think we'll have some fun with this coming up tomorrow. I'm willing to bet our teams are similar, but we won't reveal the running back part. And we'll get to that tomorrow. 617-779-0985. We've got open phone lines for you if you want to jump on board. We've got a number of things we've talked about today, whether it be the Patriots' approach to the draft that's coming up. And some of the things Bill Belichick said yesterday, didn't have much on Tom Brady. Also, they've talked to a quarterback. The Patriots are willing to adapt to whoever it is that's playing quarterback for them this coming season. We've got that in the mix today. Also, Jim told us something in our ear, I don't know, what, 20 minutes ago now?
Yeah.
What?
No. We're going to do this at the end of the show, right?
That's one thing. We found out what it is that Hardy was talking about in 2017.
But we still don't know. Jim and Tom know. The rest of us don't.
They're playing
we don't know.
Stupid
we still don't
keep
know.
Away game.
No, another thing is the Chinese Basketball Association.
Oh yeah.
Has canceled more games, Jim. Is that right?
Yeah, they've delayed the start again.
Again until July, and do you believe that this will have an impact on what we do here in the United States?
It seems to be a benchmark, doesn't it? That's what we've been looking at.
I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, but I do want to hash. Let's hash this out. All right. Let's figure this out. Let's talk about it on the other side after we get these headlines.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. At the end of one of our segments earlier, Jim wanted us to know that the Chinese Basketball Association has pushed back until at least July, is what they've said now. It's going to be at least July between, you know, everything that's happened here and happened there and players that they have playing in China that are not only just from China but other places as well. I have an echo. Someone drop out?
Nope. Right here, buddy.
Okay.
They lose us? We good?
Do we lose Hardy, maybe?
Hardy, you there?
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
Hardy's right there. Good. I hear everything fine.
Okay. I'll just
no, you sound great.
That.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, they're going to push back until July, and I hadn't given the Chinese Basketball Association a lot of thought. But the way Jim said it with such conviction, I'm now second-guessing whether or not I should have been paying more attention to this. Are we using the Chinese Basketball Association as some sort of benchmark for restarting sports here in the United States? Should we be?
It's a good question. And like, what are the actual numbers coming out of China, too, right? There's some discrepancy there as to everything being reported.
Oh, their numbers are bogus. That's what I would say about their numbers. I don't trust them on anything when it comes to reporting the actual numbers.
Why should you, you know, if you're going to look at some of the curves and flat lines as to when plateaus come, do you look more at Italy? Do you look more at China? Do you look more at Korea and the way South Korea and the way they've dealt with it? This is up in the air with China. I mean, I don't know what to believe.
Well, they said they were going to start tomorrow. That was the initial time. They said they were coming back starting tomorrow. And then a couple weeks ago, they pushed that back. And now 2 weeks later, they pushed it back a second time.
So that, it's pushed that's back why, an entire 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's why I looked at it. Because that's what all of Windhorst's stuff has been going off of what the Chinese are doing, right? And Korea. But he's mentioned China a couple times.
Hmm.
And they're a few months ahead of us in this disease. So that's why it's been a benchmark from everything you read.
I'm curious to know if it's that or if it's the fact that there's a ban in place for non-citizens entering their country and their league is comprised of players from all over the world. Right. There are a bunch of Americans that are playing in that league. So that would be my question about it. Is it based on health concerns and being able to get the league up and running there without the issues of players getting infected with, you know, COVID, or is it because logistically they can't get their players there? I'd be curious to know that. You know, is it a government thing or is it based on health? Like, it's not safe yet.
Right.
That's what I would wonder. And I'm sure, as we've already talked about, some of those roadblocks currently exist to get players back into this country for, let's say, baseball, right? We named all the different countries where players are currently located. But I don't know. I mean, Jim, do you think do you think the NBA is looking at that?
I don't know. I don't think any league is going to want to come out and say anything until they know for sure. They're not going to want to come out like the Chinese and say, oh, we're going to start at this time and then delay it. And then we're going to, we're going to start a month later. No, we're going to delay it again. I think that will give people, that will make people upset more than anything. If they say it's coming back and then they say, oh, no, we can't do it.
Do you reset? Do you discuss this every day if you're running that league? you know, meeting for running the NBA? If you're, is the NHL meeting every day? Are you getting together only once a week and look at the numbers from the last week? Like, that's what I'm interested in, is how often do these people meet?
I have no idea.
Do we reconvene in 7 days? Or, yeah, it doesn't look good right now. Tomorrow's not going
to
change anything.
That's why the Chris Fowler thing was interesting to me, because it was like, no, we need to know, like, in the next 5 or 6 weeks what's going to happen. It's like, it was like a, he gave a hard deadline almost to decide when college has to decide.
Well, it lined up with big-time college football, right? Notre Dame saying, we need to know that first week of June, are we starting on time? Because I need 6 weeks prior to camp even starting. And that's the window. First week of June is big for a team like Notre Dame or Alabama or anybody else. And if you're especially playing Notre Dame and Navy, like they are in that kickoff classic that was supposed to happen in Dublin, they needed to know a week earlier than everybody else.
And yeah, he said week zero. Week zero is that Notre Dame game. That's 20 weeks, he said.
Bingo.
20 weeks. That's not that much time.
So it's being talked about a lot then at the college level. And if Fowler's in on all this, you know, the executives at ESPN are in on all this, the head coaches, everybody.
You know what one of the problems with college is? There's too many people making decisions. Like, there's so much dependent on what the schools choose for themselves.
Sure.
For
the way they're governed, right.
Right, for academics, whether or not they reopen as a university. And with all the member institutions in the NCAA, there's just so many different parties involved that will make decisions that will impact the outcome.
And which you forget about, too.
What if half the schools decide to go back and half of them don't?
Here's part of your problem, too. Say these at-home learning, whatever videos, classes, conferences that these kids are taking. Say some kids can't handle it. And say your grades tank. Now you got a kid that's on academic warning that has to go to summer school to even become eligible for the fall. So what do you do with those kids where all of a sudden we're going to bump everything and ramp everybody up, start our practices early, but, oh, yeah, now you need to juggle summer school, kid, to even get eligible to be even have an attack.
Isn't that secondary, though, to when the sports are actually going to start playing?
No. But this is. Yeah. But these are some of the problems that the college has to deal with that pro teams don't. Like, these are real problems.
I don't think a college is going to depend and say, oh, listen, we have four guys that have to go to summer school.
Academic clearance?
But they're not going to say, oh, we have four guys, so we're just not going to play the season. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case.
But if they're important players on your team, is what I'm saying, and they miss that practice. I'm just saying, Jim, like Beetle said, you're dealing with different schools that govern different ways.
It's going to be up to five conference commissioners, the big five conferences. That's what it's the Power Five. It's going to be those five conferences.
But Jim, again, the conference commissioners don't determine whether or not one of the schools in their conference reopens.
No, they're going to have to handle their own conferences themselves. Each school, they're going to have to handle with the presidents of each school.
Right, but the conference commissioner can't decide if the University of Alabama reopens. Like, the university could tell him, hey, we're opening or we're not, and he can gather that information, but he can't go and say, yes, the SEC is going to play this year. Well, what if you've got three or four schools that are not going back to school? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but they could still, if there are enough schools that go back and they have a TV contract, they're going to probably want to play.
I would agree with that. They'll
try
and
piece it
together.
If 8 out of 12 of your conference is going back to play, they're just going to play with 8 that year instead of 12. I fully guarantee that.
Yeah. No.
If there are more than half that aren't going back, then that's an issue, obviously.
So you could have some teams playing and some teams not playing.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could too. I mean, there's just too many schools. There's too many people involved that have power to make a decision on what happens here.
Too many people cooking a dinner at the collegiate level.
Trying to get them all to agree is not something that's possible. You can't get all those different institutions to agree. It's going to be really hard to do. 617-779-0985. We've got today's takeaways, and we'll find out what it was in 2017 that Hardy was sticking gum and finagling, and what was it that he was trying to get?
We don't know.
We'll find out next.
Don't know.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Okay, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Check it out today online at awaken180weightloss.com. Six locations,
They're going to coach you up virtually. You're going to lose weight while sitting at home, take care of your family, doing work. Get out there, lose the weight. Summer's coming, folks. Awaken 180 weight loss.
All right, we got okay. A few items. A few items. Go ahead, Zoe. What do you got?
What do I have, Jim?
I don't know. You said you're going to take it away there. You said, okay.
Okay.
You can't take them literally.
Well, I mean, I've been sitting here for an hour waiting on just, it's just been tearing me apart. What was it that Harden
okay, we'll
was
get,
talking
we'll
about?
Okay, we'll get right, to that. So, well, first, though, right. we had some technical difficulties today that we want to address first. Okay, so he lays out a bunch of different scenarios. One is they have a regular season, things are good, they last, they make it through, done. That sounds highly optimistic.
Oh, boy.
Two would be...
Bill, you're breaking up, and NBC Sports Boston has thought it appropriate to put a Chewbacca head
you're breaking
over,
up too,
over your face.
Pal.
Which I,
and it has now
look,
become the Zoe Show. So there's...
I don't even know if that's appropriate.
And that was it. As soon as Zoe said, and
this
now it's become the Zoe Show.
I tap danced for five minutes here.
And he had no idea.
I thought I was alone.
The best part was we went to break on radio.
And Zoe just kept going.
And we're looking up at the screen, and I'm now reconnected with Jim. And I go, look at Zoe. He's still up there talking. He thinks he's on the air.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that was funny. All right, so earlier, Hardy, we played this clip. We got to replay what we played earlier.
All right, good.
Stuck it in there, and they couldn't get it out. It fit perfectly in there one way, but you could not reach your hand in there and pull it out. I got a pen, and I made a big ball of sticky
gum.
Tape on the end of it.
Gum, and I'd stick
and
my gum in
I shoved it in there, and it took a while. I pulled that thing out very, very slowly and came up.
Okay, so I picked up on something there that I didn't hear the first time.
What the
okay, was that was they. They stuck something in there, so that leads
kids.
Me to believe it was the kids.
Kids with the oh, I bet it's the CD cassette or the CD player in your car.
No. I didn't even have a CD player in my last.
CDs?
They shoved cookies into the VCR.
There you go.
Now, I'm not going to be able to get it, but I'm confident in this much. It was something that the kids did that I had to fix.
What did
so
you bring up earlier,
Zoe?
What did you bring up earlier, Zoe?
That, you know, like when you flip up your ashtray, your cup holder, you get a little crevice there to where your credit card could fall down in there.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you can't put your finger down there. And I before had to get either what else, tweezers or a pen with gum on it and try and stick it to the card and pull it out. And I've done that before.
All right, let's hear the other part of this from 2017.
All right.
And we'll have a listen.
I was a hero at the haircut place yesterday. A bona fide hero.
Why? Just waiting for you to come in?
Nope.
Only customer of the day?
Nope.
Took the guy coffee?
You want to know right now?
Sure.
It was one of these haircut places for kids when, you know, there's stuff to play with. And there's a, you know, one of the, not like a climbing thing, but something that's like, hey, reach your hand in here. All the some kid took like a little tin of hair product and stuck it in there and they couldn't get it out. It fit perfectly in there one way, but you could not reach your hand in there and pull it out. It was impossible.
So what'd you do, get a straw and suck it out?
No. I got a pen. And they asked me, they said, could you get that out of there, do you think? I said, yes, I can. No idea if I could, Beetle, but I said, yes, I can. I got a pen, and I made a big ball of sticky tape on the end of it.
Gum, and I'd stick
and
my gum in
I shoved it in there, and it took a while. I pulled that thing out very, very slowly, and it came up. It was like lifting the idol off the thing in Raiders of the Lost Ark. There was celebrations. Oh, they're whooping and hollering.
I should have had you in my car, about a week and a half ago when my credit card slipped down in the ashtray a little.
Well, that's the type of thing. Yes.
Same reference 3 years ago from Zoe.
And Hardy
about the credit card in the ashtray.
How could you not remember that you went to Snippets with your kids and where they put the little card into where they get the free toy at the end of the cut? You couldn't remember that you rescued a jammed thing in there.
I don't know, but how is it that you only have one thing in your head that equates to that? So and you brought up the comp 3 years later, but you couldn't remember the original.
And I should have remembered you. I should have remembered that. And it makes me mad.
So it was what was the hair product? Like a bottle of something?
Kids, like, there's a little slot. The kids grab stuff and they just jam it in there.
I think what it was, Beetle, was like a very short jar, you know, like the pomade comes in, or like the, you know, hair wax. You know, it's just, it's almost like a tobacco sized tin, right?
Yeah. Of pomade to get the hair spiked. Yeah.
Yeah, and they put it through the slot, and it's like there's no way you could put your whole hand in there to grab it and pull it out. So, oh God, hearing the way I MacGyvered that thing, I'm just as happy now as I was then.
What a hero.
What a day that was.
Attaboy.
Wow.
Absolute hero.
The day Harvey. Shut up, Harvey. Not that smart. The day Hardy saved Snippets.
Nice. That's right. Now, I know how you two hate it when things go well for me. So if we're done with the takeaways, would you like to hear something that will make you both happy?
Yes.
Sure.
Because it was something that went poorly for me.
Yes.
Guess what I found this morning, right after we finished our call and I went to get in the shower.
What is it?
Another tick.
Oh, no.
Was it embedded?
Tick bite.
Oh, where?
Yeah.
On your leg? Did you
right
get a circle?
Right rear flank. Like right on my right trap.
No way.
So
was
now
it burning?
What?
Was it itchy? He's got to go get it tested. You got to pull that tick out.
No, I'm not. No, I already emailed back and forth with the doctor. We're doing another. They're going to bomb my body with doxycycline.
Oh God!
Again,
more TikTok for
the second time, or for the second time in 4 months.
You got the tick head out, right? That's the key.
Yeah, it's not even like really the head. They say it's like as long as you kill it. You're pulling out, and if there's like parts of it stuck in there, it's fine. What you don't want to do is, and I couldn't, you know, it was tough to reach, and I'm doing it with a mirror, and I'm like,
was it fat?
Oh, well,
was it sucking
enough
blood?
Yeah. I mean, there's a mark back there. I don't know. It wasn't all that big though. I don't think, but I don't know what size it was when it started. If it was one of the tiny ones, it had gotten pretty big.
Yeah.
But what? It wasn't all that big. I worried about it enough the first time. I'm not even going to worry about it this second time. But I knew it would make you happy to know that, you know, something had I had experienced a misfortune today.
I don't wish that on anyone.
I don't wish that on anybody.
I think Beetle likes it a little bit.
No way.
Beetle likes it a little bit.
We enjoyed that last time
Beetle
because
likes TikTok.
You were in a full blown panic, like it was hilarious how crazy you had gone. But
would you like it? Would you like it more if I were more panicked this time?
Who was that guy we talked about?
Yeah, if you right now thought death was imminent, I think we could have a laugh about that. But you don't. You've already been through it. You're a survivor, is what it comes down to.
Did you take a picture? Did you send a tick picture to us?
Tick pic.
Yeah. I did not send a tick pic, nor did I send a tick pic to my doctor. The last time I did that, he said, "Please, no more tick pics."
You said tick pic to Marcy
portal. No, I had Marcy take a tick pic, though, so we could examine the wound and see if it bullseyes after today.
Now it's a party.
That sucks. Well, be well, Hardy.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Wish you the best
before.
Have fun with those bet sweats tonight.
We're back tomorrow at 10. Enjoy the day. Felger Mazur next. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.